All right, Brother Steve keeps preaching like I'm going to have to up my game a little. Amen. Good stuff. Some of you newer folks, if you haven't signed up for the membership class yet, it's not too late. You can still do it today, but you need to stop at the Welcome Center on the way out and make sure we have material for you. And we'd just love to have you here. If you do the class, obviously we would like for you to join the church, but you don't have to. But it is a good class to come and find out what our church is about, what we believe, what our vision is, how the ministries run, how the finances are handled, the whole ballgame. That's why it takes me a little longer, Steve. It is a couple hours class, but we do some breaks every hour, so you know you're not going to be sitting here the whole time, but it will be worth your time. When you join a church, it is another level, believe me, of spirituality. It really is, because you become part of a church family, and that church family becomes accountable to you, and you become accountable to them, and it helps you to grow spiritually. So that's at 4 o'clock, and if you can join us, I want you to come. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's word this morning? 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. I've entitled the message this morning, No Other Gods. In case you haven't caught it yet, we've been preaching that to you ever since you walked in the door this morning. Amen. I know sometimes it looks like we have no plan, but there is a method to our madness. There really is. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 says, But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon the people of Ashdod, and not in a good way. And he caused mice to spring up, and there was very deadly destruction. And he smote the people with very painful tumors or boils, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is heavy on us and on Dagon, our God. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, again, we just thank you for your goodness and love. Lord, you commanded us and you taught us through the words of Moses not to make anything in your image or likeness, anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath. And God, because you are a God that fills this universe, you are the creator of this universe, we live and move and have our being in you, Lord God. And there is nothing other than your Son that represents your image and your likeness. And thank God that you sent him into this world. And Lord, when his disciples asked him, they said, Show us the Father. He said, How long have I been with you and you've not seen? He said, If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Lord Jesus, we've looked at you in the Gospels. We've looked at you through your word. We've seen you with the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And you alone are the only God worthy of worship. With a heart that is so tender, with a heart that is so compassionate, with God, just all the love and power and compassion that you are to each and every one of us. I echo the words of Leah this morning, Lord. I believe for all of us, you didn't only save our souls, you saved our lives. And for that, we're grateful. And Lord, we know you are the way, the truth, and the life. We deny ourselves, Father. We take up our cross and we follow our Lord, our Master, our Rabbi, our Teacher, our King. And Lord, we love you and praise you this morning. We ask your blessing upon our hearts and pray as we break the bread of life together that, Lord, you would open it up and let the heavens be opened upon us, that we'd receive revelation from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm glad Steve sat down. He almost preached my message. I'm going to preach next week. Yeah, he did. We have been looking through the book of 1 Samuel, and at this point, the priest Eli and his family are gone. The Ark of the Covenant's been captured by the Philistines. As we saw last time, they'd set it up in the temple of their god Dagon, and Dagon's fallen down and been broken off at the waist. The Philistines are being smitten with boils and sores caused by an overrun of rats. that the Bible tells us is sent by the Lord. He's got 10,000 arrows in his quiver. God can just blow on the breath of man. And, you know, I get sometimes heartbroken, sometimes tickled when people talk about they're going to fight against God and they're going to fight against Christianity. If that's your thoughts, I got to tell you, all you got to do is look at human history. Greater men and women and nations and countries and religions and gods have tried to do it. Said, we're going to wipe it off the face of the earth. And God said it'd be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than it would for his word and his kingdom. As we saw last week, an idol is nothing, and neither was their god Dagon. The power of God's not even in the Ark of the Covenant, but it's in the covenant relationship with God. Israel had lost the Ark of the Covenant because they didn't understand the Ark was just a symbol. It had no power in itself, and when they were out in the midst of the battle, they weren't walking in covenant with God. They didn't have a relationship with God, but they thought they'd take the Ark of the Covenant out and shake it in front of the enemy, and that somehow God would move through that, and he didn't. The Philistines defeated them. Thousands of them died, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken. The Philistines ran off with it. But if you're going to steal things from God, you better be careful. You better be careful. Listen, 1 Samuel 5, verse 8 says, well, before I get into that, somebody taught me something this week that I didn't know before, and I've read the Bible many, many times. One of the brothers in the church here a few weeks ago, I was talking about this particular passage of Scripture, and he said, you know what those tumors and boils were? Usually when somebody says that, I know I'm about to get a revelation. I said, the Bible says that they're tumors and boils. He said they're hemorrhoids. And sometimes when people say things like that to me, I think, okay, I love you. That's cool. And I didn't think much more about it. It was a conversation, I think, on the way out the door one Sunday morning. But as I was putting this message together the other day, I was reminded of that again. So I got out. I have a computer program that has over, it's got like 30 different versions of the Bible on it, and I can just whip them all up at one time and cross-reference a verse. So I got this verse out, and in all of those translations, not a one of them said it was hemorrhoids. But wanting to give this brother the benefit of the doubt, I called him up. I said, I've been doing some studying here, and I remember what you said to me a few weeks ago. I said, I've looked at, 29, 30 translations of the Bible, and I said, not one of them's calling them hemorrhoids. I said, where did you get your information? Actually, we were texting each other, and he said, well, give me a minute, and I'll get back with you. I thought, he don't even know where he got it. But he did. A couple minutes later, he actually called me then, and he said, it's in this particular verse, and he got this verse out, and he started reading it again, and I said, well, I'm reading those verses. I said, none of the translations have it. The King James uses the word emrod. They had emrods. He said, I'm pretty sure if you go to the dictionary and look that up, you're going to find out it's hemorrhoids. And you know what? He was right. You wonder why you have such a hard time when you mess around with God. I thought, man, that's a revelation. Yeah, it uses the word emrod. You look it up in dictionaries, hemorrhoids. I'm telling you, you ought to read this book. You really ought to read this book. I mean, it's got some stuff in it. Hallelujah. So you just think about that as I talk this morning. So they sent and gathered all the lords of the Philistines to them and said, what shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel? They answered, let it be carried around to Gath. How many of you know misery loves company? We made a mistake. We brought this ark to our town. Now we've all got boils and hemorrhoids. God has a sense of humor, I'm telling you. Yeah, all you laughing, you never had them. It ain't that funny. they've got hemorrhoids, and so that what they're saying is, let's take this thing and put it in one of the other towns. So they carried the Ark of God of Israel there, but after they carried it to Gath, the hand of the Lord was against the city, causing exceedingly great panic at the deaths from the plague, for he afflicted the people of the city, small and great, with hemorrhoids and boils that broke out on them. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. How many of you know when evil people get in trouble, that's what they do? They pass it on to somebody else all the time. And as it came, the people of Ekron cried out, they brought that Ark of God of Israel to slay us and our people. They're starting to wise up, man. They're like, we see what's going on there. They realized it was a problem. So they sent and assembled all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the Ark of the God of Israel. Let it return to its own place, that it may not slay us and our people. For there was a deadly panic throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who had not died were stricken with very painful hemorrhoids and boils, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. I play tennis with a guy every once in a while. I'd say, how you doing, Charlie? He says, oh, I'm so old. I remember when it was Preparation B. Some of you won't get that. You ain't old enough yet. I mean, these people have problems. Now, how many of you know it isn't the Ark that's causing the problems? God had told Israel to go into the Promised Land, and because the wickedness of the people that had lived there, Israel was to be God's hand extended in judgment. They were to wipe out everybody, but they hadn't done that. And now you have other people that are living in this land. They're as lost as they can be. They're worshiping idols and false gods. And God has brought his people to a place of chastening. But now the wicked people have taken the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God to the nation of Israel. But God cared about those lost people too. He cared about those Philistines too. He wanted them to understand that Dagon, their idol, their statue, their monuments, that was not God. He was God. And when I look at this sometimes, I think sometimes, like I see it in the world, sometimes the lost, the heathen, those that don't know God, and those that don't go to church, have more sensitivity to what God is doing in their lives than people that go to church every Sunday. Now, we do need to be there, Steve. That was good preaching. Real good preaching. And these Philistines realized that this God of Israel was more powerful than their gods. God had already knocked that statue over. It was laying across the threshold, and they won't even step across it. Now, it says this. It goes on to say in chapter 6, verse 1, the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines for 7 months. How many of you know, even when life gets bad and it gets hard and God sends plagues, whether it's hemorrhoids or mice or boils or whatever it is, if you stay in it long enough, you can get comfortable in it. That's right. See, that's the problem with sin itself. It never stops where it starts. And if you get comfortable with a little bit of it, after a while, a lot of it's going to creep in. You know, if I knew I had a box that was sitting in my town that was giving me hemorrhoids and causing mice to go everywhere and making a plague in my town, I don't think I'd wait 7 months to do something about it. But we do. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us what we shall send. Tell us with what we shall send it to its place. I'll get it out here in a minute. And they said, if you send away the Ark of God of Israel, don't send it away empty. Now, these are heathen people talking. You know what I'm saying? They said, don't send it away empty, but at least return to him a guilt offering. My first pastor used to say something and drove me nuts the first time I heard it. He said, some people are better by nature than others are by grace. Should not be so, I can tell you. But it's the truth. You ever met people that are lost, people that don't really know much about God, but you get around them and they actually live better than some of the Christians you know? That should not be. And that's a little bit of what's going on here. These lost heathen idol worshipers are a little more sensitive and understand a little bit more about God than Israel does at this time. Then they said, what shall be the guilt offering that will return to him? And they answered, they said, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the Philistine lords. For one plague was on you all, even on your lords. Therefore, you must make images of your tumors, your hemorrhoids. Bet that was a fun job. And of your mice that destroy the land, and give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand off you and your gods and your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? I'm going to read that to you again. I want to point something out. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? See, I'm reading that because some of you read your Bible and you feel sorry for Pharaoh because you think God hardened his heart and God sent him to hell. And the reality is it wasn't God. Pharaoh made the choices. The heathen knew it. The heathen knew it. It said, when he had done wonders and made a mock of them, did they not let the people go and they departed? These diviners, these spiritist people, spiritual people, how many of you know you can be spiritual and still not be Christian? Yeah, Hollywood's full of them. They're all spiritual. They worship rocks and tea leaves and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, we make fun of people like that. But if a person is at least that, sometimes there's more hope of them finding God than there is somebody that isn't that way. You know why? Because they at least think there's something bigger and greater out there than themselves. Sometimes idol worshipers have a bigger idea of what life is than we do. Now, you can't worship idols and go to heaven. That's not the point. But I'm just saying, at least you understand that there's something bigger than me in life. It said, now then, make and prepare a new cart with 2 milch cows on which no yoke has ever come, and yoke the cows to the cart, but take their calves home away from them. And then they said, take the ark of the Lord, place it upon the cart, put in a box at its side the figures of gold which you're returning to him as a guilt offering, and then send it away and let it be gone. And watch. If it goes up by the way of its own land to Beth-Shemesh, then he's done this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it was not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Boy, there's a lesson there. You ever watch the Weather Channel? Now, I have. This ain't right, but I've done it. Pastor Ken, you done something that's not right. Well, wait till I tell you. Don't stone me yet. When them wildfires are going in California, and you know how they live in California, and they talk about the San Andreas Fault, that one of these days the whole state of California is just going to break off and go into the ocean. Sometimes when I see those fires and sometimes I see those storms and I think maybe I'll get up tomorrow and it'll be out toward Hawaii somewhere. And sometimes I think that'll be the hand of God. Sometimes when they try to pass some of the laws they do, I think God's going to snap that thing off and throw it in the sea. Keep that dumb stuff up. But you know, a lot of times when there's things like that, it's not the hand of God. It's just nature. It's just chance. Even King Solomon said, fate and chance happen to us all. Thank God it's that way. If God brought tornadoes, hurricanes, and earthquakes every time people didn't do what they were supposed to do and they were evil, we'd all be gone. Hello? He'd snap Maryland off and Pennsylvania off and New York off and they'd be done with all of it. But the lesson here is this. It's not all God, but sometimes it is. And you say, well, how will I know the difference? God will let you know. God will let you know. Sometimes God allows us to go through very difficult things and very hard things because he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to say, you know what? You ain't all that in a bag of chips. You can't do life by yourself. You do need God. You do need a Savior. You do need the direction of my word. And sometimes he'll send mice and rats, and if you ain't careful, hemorrhoids to get your attention. I can honestly tell you, not every time I've been sick, but there's been a few times I've been pretty sick. And I got sick because God was trying to slow me down. He was trying to put me down. And I just kept on pushing and I kept on pulling. And God said, okay, I know how to fix this. Lay down. You can't get up. I was 27 years old, laying in the bed. Couldn't even turn from side to side for 2 months. Didn't know if I was going to be able to walk again. Don't be as hard-headed as me. You know why I was down there? God was trying to get my attention and talk to me and get me to listen a little bit. And he said, now just lay there until I'm done with you. Yeah. But you know, I've been sick with a lot of other things too, and it didn't have anything to do with God. God wasn't doing anything. I should have COVID. I've hugged every one of you. I've done 13 funerals, and I've hugged everybody, and I've been everywhere, and I guess God's made me like those football stadiums. I'm a COVID-free zone. Somebody please explain that to me. You know, we're all going to die. You'd think there'd be whole cities just be plagued to death right now, right? Thank God for them football stadiums. I don't get it. I really don't get it. But church, I'm just saying to you, you need to pay attention to the things that are happening around you. And you need to ask God sometimes, God, this may not be the devil. It may not be my relatives. It may not be my spouse. What are you trying to say to me through this? And now you might want to tag on, and please don't give me hemorrhoids before I find out, God. I got to thank Brother John for that. He's not here this morning. If he is, he's doing security or something. It goes on to say this. He told them what to do. He said, take the ark, place it upon the cart. And what they were doing, Beth Shemesh was the place where Israel was. These Philistines were doing what I just said to you to do. They were at least trying it out. They didn't say, well, you know, it's this reason, that reason, the other reason. They said, let's figure out if this is God himself doing this to us or not. And so what the deal was is they were going to let these calves, the reason they took their calves away from the cows, you know, if mama cows have calves, you know what they're going to do. They're going to follow the calves, wherever the calves go. They said, take those calves away, put them out on the road, point them toward this town. They said, now, if they go to that town by themselves, we'll know the hand of God was in this, that God did us to it. If they go somewhere else, if they turn around and come back to the calves, well, no, it wasn't God. It was just one of them deals. And I want to say that to you, too. You know, the people in Jesus' day thought everybody that was sick was sinning against God. It wasn't true then, and it isn't true now. Now, a lot of sin, different sins, can cause a lot of sickness. That's the only reason God doesn't want you to do some things, doesn't want you to practice some things, and smoke some things, and drink some things, and eat some things. You know, anything God says no to, it's because he loves you and he knows what's best for you. Father knows best. So quit fighting him and just start doing what he's telling you to do. You'll have a better life, trust me, an abundant life. Now, it said they put the ark of the Lord, verse 11, they put the ark of the Lord on the cart and along with it the box of the mice and gold and the images and their tumors. And the cows went straight toward Beth Shemesh along the highway, lowing as they went. They turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Some of us are dumber than cows. Jesus said, keep your eyes on him. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Isaiah said, get on the highway of holiness and don't turn to the right or turn to the left. Just keep your eyes on God. And he said, even the devil won't come up on that highway after you. And some of you still walking crooked. You wobble. See, these cows had enough sense to not turn to the right or the left. And the Philistine lords followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the men of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes, and they saw the ark, and they rejoiced to see it. See, another thing you see here is God knows, God fights his own battles. Did you know that? He really does. Not only that, he'll fight your battle. You say, oh, I got to do this and I got to take care of that and I want to be in control of the other thing. God says, you know what you need to do? You need to focus on God. Keep walking straight. Grow up in Jesus Christ. Be a disciple or a follower of Christ. And he said, I'll take care of everything else. Well, let me tell you the way he said it. Seek ye the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You don't have to worry about everyday life. God knows you don't have enough time to take care of your life and serve him in the life that he wants you to live. He said, look, you do my will, I'll take care of yours. And I'm telling you, 40-something years into it, he is faithful, he is powerful, he is almighty. Let God fight your battles. The battle belongs to the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by strength, it's not by your power, it's not by your wisdom, it's by the Spirit of God. And you can't change a single other person except by letting God change and transform you, and you just keep your eye like a flint. Don't turn to the right hand, don't turn to the left. God will take care of the rest of it. Now it says the cart came into the field of Joshua Beshemes, and it stopped there, and a great stone was there, and the men split up the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. See, they were Israelites. They realized God had brought the Ark of the Covenant back to them, a symbol of God. And he had brought it back, and they began to worship. That's another thing you need to do if you're a Christian, worship everywhere. Do you need to be in church? Yeah, you do. But you can worship everywhere. You can worship anywhere. Be a worshiper of God. No matter what you're doing. And I do see God's heart here. Some of you see the God of the Old Testament as thunder and lightning and judgment and wrath. But I want to tell you, here's a God that had already condemned these people to death. They were supposed to be judged, but he's got a heart that is still reaching out to them, still trying to reveal himself to them so that they can join and become a part of the people of God. Now I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform, if you would please, right now. I want to close with this. In Isaiah 44, it says, fear not. Some of you need to hear that from God today. Fear not. You say, you know what I'm going through. You know what I'm going to do. When I walk out of here, Pastor Ken, and I go out of this door, you don't know what I'm going to be dealing with. I'm telling you, God's still telling you, fear not. Nor be afraid in the coming violent upheavals. Have I not told you from of old and declared it, that you're my witnesses? Is there a God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not any. My wife wanted to watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics the other night. I'm not all that into it, but she was. But I sat there with her. I'm into her, so we watched what she wanted to watch. But man, the news announcers, the commentators who are news announcers for, I think, today's show, most of them, the channel we were on, they were talking about some scary stuff. They really were. They said, you know, the United States hasn't sent a delegate here. And they said, Putin, who leads Russia, you know, he's ready to go into Ukraine and take it back. He wants back what Gorbachev gave away. If you haven't figured out what's going on there. You know, when Gorbachev brought down the wall and they divided the Soviet Union up, Putin saying, what you gave away, I want back. And he is. At some point, he's going to go in there and try to get it. But then they said, and Putin is here today at these Olympics, and he's going to be sitting with the leader of China and North Korea. And man, if you know your Bible, I was just like getting cold chills down the back of my neck. I thought, dear God. Because the Bible says in the end of time that Russia, and it calls them the kings of the East, it calls China and Korea and all of them, you know, Southeast Asia, they're all going to come together and they're going to unite. And they're going to unite against Israel. And since America backs Israel, we're going to be in their way. And I said to my wife a year or two ago, I said, all these nations that are now superpowers, you know, we used to be about the only superpower in the world at the end of World War II. We're not anymore. And most of the rest of the superpowers are tired of us telling them that we can have nuclear weapons, but they can't have nuclear weapons, and we can have this many tanks, but they can't have that many tanks. They're tired of it. And that's going to be a part of the end time scenario. I sat there watching that thing. I thought, this isn't any different than when Hitler was having the games, right, before World War II. There is a cataclysm brewing in this world that we need to be ready for. Now, I didn't say all that for you to go home and worry yourself to death and not sleep tonight. Fear not, nor be afraid in the coming violent upheavals. There are going to be upheavals shortly like you have never seen. And I didn't get some direct revelation or vision from God. All you got to do is look at the times we're in. I told my wife the other day, I said, I'd like to leave and go to another country when the next presidential race starts. Do you know how ugly and mean and divided that's going to be? You know, it was ugly the last time or two around. Can you imagine what this time's going to be? There are things coming, people. But I only say this to let you know there is no other rock besides God. And you don't have to worry about all the chaos and the upheaval, but it's coming. But make sure you're rooted and grounded in God. He went on to say, all who make graven idols are confusion, chaos, and worthlessness. Their objects, their idols in which they delight, do not profit them, and their own witnesses, their worshipers, do not see or know, so they're put to shame. Who is such a fool as this, to fashion a god or cast a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Now, Brother Steve mentioned it about we can have idols. What I want to end with today is I want you to ask yourself seriously. Am I letting anything get between me and God? Because anything that you're letting get between you and God is an idol in your life. If you've been saved, I want to ask you this. Is he still your first love? Your first love? You remember when you first get saved that Jesus is everything, church is everything, walking with God is everything, and if we're not careful, after a while, it somehow gets delegated to some compartment of our lives, and it doesn't permeate everything in our lives. And I just want you to know, folks, the time in history that we're living in, this is no time to be playing around with God. If you're not right with God, get right with God before you leave here today. You can do it right where you sit or right where you stand. You can say, God, you know what? I hear what that preacher's saying. I hear you speaking to my heart. It's time for me to get back where I need to be. Get back to where I used to be. Get back to loving you first and putting you first in everything. Amen. And then you ain't going to have to worry about it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody and no thing. Amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to worship the Lord. How many of you are grateful for the cross? Amen. You know, sometimes when you watch some of these famous people, and if you follow their lives, some of them just get to the place where they're off the rails. You know, and you say, man, if something doesn't change, they're not going to make it. I'm a Steeler fan, and Antonio Brown used to play for the Steelers. You know, and he got mad and took his shirt off and run off the football field. I said, man, if somebody don't get a hold of him soon, he won't be alive in another year or two. And the reason I'm sharing that with you is that's where I was at before I got saved. My life was off the rails. I knew. There was something telling me. The night I walked into church, something was telling me if I didn't give my heart and my life to God right then, I'd never get another chance. I ran with a group of guys. There was five of us. We did drugs. We ran the bar. We did all the things
people did, you know, back in the 70s and that sort of thing. And I was the one in the group that all the rest of them said, well, as long as we're not as bad as him, we'll probably be okay. I got saved in May. Three of them were dead by the end of August. And I said, God, if you hadn't pulled me out of the fire, if you hadn't pulled me out of the fire that night, I guarantee you I wouldn't have lasted as long as they did. And you know what? None of us know how long we have on this planet. So again, I'm just saying to you, if you're not right with God, get right with God. If you've been right with God, you backslid, get right with God. If you've been right with God, you've been away from God, get right with God now. Amen. He has a better life for you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We acknowledge you. We accept you. You're our rock. You're our Savior. And your word says, Father God, one day every knee will bow before you. If we wait to that day to bow our knee, Father God, that represents that we're resisting you right now. When we bow our knee before you on Judgment Day, it's going to be too late. We've rejected you all this time. My prayer right now is everyone under the sound of my voice will bow their knee, they will bow their heart, they will bow their will before you right now and not wait until Judgment Day. Holy Spirit, just breathe on us right now. Breathe on us. We need that inner peace. We need that inner direction that only you can provide. We need your strength to go from day to day to be your disciples. Holy Spirit, just come now. Go with each one of us as we go into our own little worlds, Father God, with our people that we meet on a regular basis. You can use us to change and deliver your message and deliver your word to those people that only we have the opportunity to meet. So, Father God, I ask that you give us the words to speak to them. Give us the boldness that we need to talk to them and speak out of gentleness and kindness and compassion for them, Father God, that you love them and that they need to hear your saving word. We're thankful for this day of worship, Father God. We're thankful that we can come together as a body of believers to worship you and to praise you. You are worthy, Father God. You are worthy of our time. You're worthy of our praises. You're worthy of all in all that we can offer you. We're grateful for your Son, Jesus. He didn't withhold himself to do his ministry here on earth, to die on the cross for our sins. For that, we're grateful, Father God, that we have a loving God, loving Savior, who would do all that for us. Have your way in our life now, I pray, Father God. As we depart this sanctuary, I ask that you go with us. Give us your mind. I ask that you be a lamp unto our path, wherever that may lead this coming week. Just guide and direct us, Father God. Give us a heart that's solely after you. In Jesus' name, amen.